It gives me great pleasure to welcome to the program the Deputy Director of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Patrick Rohde. Patrick, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Lars. Thank you for having me.
You know, as much as I'm tempted to give you a hard time about your prior career in television news and the fact that you were born in the same town as Bill Clinton, I think we'll pass on both of those items.
Well, okay then.
But we are glad for the things that FEMA does for America when we run into a disaster like this one. This is just about without precedent, isn't it?
Well, it really is. What we're all looking at right now is really one of the greatest mobilizations of federal and state resources to a domestic event in this country in quite some time, Lars.
Well, listen, we're glad for you doing that. Tell us, as a practical matter, how long is it going to be before we're able to get these people substantial relief? I mean, as I can see, they're still lifting people off the tops of roofs, and they're literally tens of thousands of people without food, water, sanitation, and medical care.
You know, Lars, what we're looking at right now is truly one of the biggest mobilizations that we've seen in an awfully long time. And what you have is through President Bush's proactiveness to make sure that he declared emergency declarations ahead of the storm, even when he noticed that this Cat 5 storm was coming in. He had emergency declarations in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. And what that did was allow the federal government to make sure that we were leaning forward as much as humanly possible. It also encouraged the states to lean forward as much as humanly possible, too. And it afforded them the opportunity to ensure those evacuations. And that's where we saw a lot of those mass evacuations going into this storm. It allowed us to get most of the people out of the way that we needed to have out of the way. And it also afforded the federal government the opportunity to apply as many of our resources and pre-position those resources as close as we possibly could. Many of those resources, of course, being water, ice, cots, and meals ready to eat. It also allowed us to strategically deploy our urban search and rescue teams and our disaster medical assistance teams, many of which are now employed right now in this critical life-saving stage that we're in.
I understand the U.S. Navy is throwing in the hospital ship Comfort as well.
That's correct. I think we're looking at several different military vessels which are coming in to assist us, and it's just part of an overall federal strategic approach to this particular disaster. I think when you look at something that's as widespread as this, you're looking at multiple issues and all sorts of different people that have to apply their resources at all level of the federal government together with our state partners to make sure that our first responders on the ground have everything that they possibly need in this situation.
I've dealt with your agency a number of times in the past, and I know that you guys take your hits from time to time, but I've always been impressed. The federal flood insurance program could help a lot of these people, but as I understand, it's a very small percentage of people that actually chose to have that flood insurance, even though they're right there in the Gulf in the path of hurricanes.
Well, that's always it's always a difficult decision for families as to just what they can do. Of course, within some of the communities around the country, we have a flood insurance program that is taken advantage of more than others. Certainly the private insurance community is going to have quite a time with this event too. But hopefully, once we get through this heavy response period, we all have an opportunity to review different policies and see just how well people were able to plan for this type of an event. But clearly, that is a part of the overall approach that we all have to take to this, and your recognition of that very issue is just one of multiple issues that we're obviously going to be looking at, not only now within this early response phase, but clearly within a long-term recovery phase where we're going to have to speak to, of course, mass housing needs as well.
And as we head into that long recovery phase, we've got about a minute left in this segment, but do we rebuild a major city like this in the path of what are certain to be more hurricanes in the future?
Well, you know, that's quite a policy question that I'm certain that many people have grappled with for years. You know, truth of the matter is it is a large population base, and there is no question that many people have
they're below sea level.
Well, it certainly is, and that certainly brings with it the many geographical challenges, certainly as it relates to storms of any magnitude. But I think whenever you're talking about an area of this size that has been impacted the way that it has, I think that many Americans feel simply compelled to do everything that we possibly can to at least return some form of normalcy. And certainly with that, there is perhaps an even greater concern for potentially future events and ways to mitigate against them.
And in the meantime, if you happen to live anywhere near water, go buy some flood insurance. There's a reason that federal program is there, and it's not taxpayer subsidized. It's paid for by the premiums. Mr. Rohde, thank you very much. We appreciate the time.
Lars, thank you very much. We certainly appreciate it as well, too. And if I could just very, very quickly want to remind everyone to make sure that if you have evacuated, that you do not go back into those areas. It's just as dangerous now as it was during the storm. Lars, thank you for having me.